Good morning. Stand with me, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, and we'll read the scripture this morning, starting in verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Father, thank you for your word today. Impress it upon our hearts. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have free reign in our lives to do what needs to be done. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us. Help us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Luke chapter 9. And before I get to the excuses today, I'm going to talk about things that cause us to make excuses. And even prior to that, this is an important year in the life of this church. Decisions are going to be made this year that will affect the church for several years to come. And the most important decision to be made this year is the choice of a new pastor. And Jamie, we need to pray for you because you have been given a very, very difficult assignment that in your own strength you cannot do. And so we're going to pray that God would fill you with His Spirit and lead you to the person that God has called to this place. And for the rest of the search committee, I know how hard it can be for you. It's a difficult thing, and I pray for you also, that God would lead you to the person, to the man that He is calling to this place. And so, having said that, the church needs to be able to go forward. We need to move forward prior to the selection of a new pastor, the calling of a new pastor, and then we need to move forward once that man has been brought here as the pastor. We have a lot of excuses. We have a lot of excuses for not helping the church go forward. Sometimes it's all about being selfish. You suppose we are ever selfish? I don't have time. It starts with I, putting us first. And so for the first time on many times, is God really a priority for us? I don't have time. People just don't understand how much I have to do. And by just saying I, you begin to make it all about yourself. It's not about God. And each one of us do that. Here's another excuse. My kids are involved in so many things. My kids are involved in blank. You fill in the blank. And I'm not saying our kids don't need to be active. But I'm saying that sometimes we are so active, our kids are so active, that they have no time for church. They have no time to develop a relationship with God. And what's that going to do for them later on in life when things get tough and they have never been shown the importance of a relationship with God or the importance of belonging to a church and contributing to a church? If we spend all our time running our kids from one thing to another, what are we really teaching them? We're teaching them that everything out there is more important than our relationship with God and everything in God's church. One of the things you and I need to remember is that Jesus established the church. And He established the church for a reason, that we could come together in worship and praise. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And one of the main reasons there is so we can encourage one another. Y'all need encouragement? Sometimes we have really tough days. Sometimes we have really tough weeks. Sometimes things are not going the way we think they should, and we need to be encouraged by others. We need to hear words of comfort. And that this is one of those places that God has called and put together so that those things can be demonstrated in our lives. Does the church really matter? Then teach your children. Teach your children. Kyle, was it Crosby, Stills, and Nash who had that song, Teach Your Children Well? How about this for an excuse? Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. You ever said that? It'll get done somehow. Well, if God's calling you to do it, then the idea that someone else will do it is not acceptable. I've served my time. I've heard that many times. I've served my time. I'm done. I'm retiring. Let me ask you this. When did Moses retire from ministry? When he died. We never serve and end our time moving forward with God. Apathy. Really doesn't matter. I just don't care. And all these excuses and others will keep not only our church, but every church from moving forward with God. Individually, collectively, excuses will keep our church dead in the water. Something we need to understand in the church is that we are all under the authority of God. And in order to not make excuses, we have to realize that we are under God's authority. It is not about us, it's about Him. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, it says, He called His disciples and gave them power and authority. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it says, He called His disciples and gave them power and authority. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus gave his disciples authority. But the question is, from where or from who did Jesus get his authority? John chapter 5, verse 30 says this, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Our authority must come from God. Jesus subjected himself to the authority of the Father. Jesus modeled how to live under authority for us, and we need to follow that example and place ourselves under the authority of God. If we're going to get to the place where we never make excuses in our lives, God has to be the authority in our lives. Our authority needs to come from God and will be made known in the way we live our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our authority comes from God and from God's Word. John MacArthur has a website, gtygracetoyou.com. Here's what he said. Jesus gave the disciples the authority to bind and loose, to speak under God's authority as the foundational representatives of the church. They did not act arbitrarily, nor did they act apart from the Holy Spirit. Jesus demonstrates what it means to subject oneself to the authority of God. Now, thinking about this, how do we model that to others? Parents, we had parent and child dedication this morning. But to think of my relationship as a parent, and you can think of your relationship as a parent, which we can demonstrate authority to our parents, can't we? Or to our children, can't we? And we need to. We need to teach our children the things of God. We need to teach our children the things that are really important. We can't rely on the church to do that. The church only has our kids maybe 2 hours a week at best. We have our children in our homes 24/7. So the teaching of spiritual things, about relationships to God, about the importance of the church, must come from the home. Didn't we read that a little bit? Teach your children the things of God when you sit down, when you rise up at home. We need to help our children, and we do, develop into the person they need to be. We need to help our children understand how to overcome adversity. We need to help our children become people that are productive, to help them learn how to make a difference. And that's what God does for us. When we submit to God's authority, He helps us develop into the person we need to be, the believer that He wants us to be. He helps us to understand His word. He helps us to understand His will and His ways. He helps us to understand His purposes. He helps us to understand and how to overcome adversity. He helps us learn how to make a difference. Mike was telling me a story in my office today about a guy he used to work with. I don't remember his name. That's not important. But this fellow was a devout atheist. His family had been involved in churches, but he had decided it was all a bunch of malarkey. That's my own words. And he talked to Mike, and Mike had an experience went places with this guy and his girlfriend. That girlfriend's now his wife. And there were some interaction, and later, I guess they're friends on Facebook, but what he found out was, I think the girl's name was Emily, that Emily had been going to church and had been baptized as a believer. And here's the thing she said that made a difference. This man, let's call him Chris, this man was going to church with her every Sunday. You see, that's what happens when we live under the authority of the Scripture. That's what happens when we live under God's authority, when we model that authority to others. He helps us understand how to make a difference. And if we're going to move forward, if we're going to get going, we need to remember, submit to the authority of God and God's word. He must be first. Well, what kind of things will enable us to make excuses? One is a lack of faith. A lack of faith. Do you trust God? Now, I know we're in church, right? And I've asked this before, but do you really trust God? Do you believe that He is who He says He is? That He can do what He says He can do? Do you believe that this morning? And back in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 37. On the next day when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met Him. And behold, a man from the crowd cried out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out and convulses him so that he foams at the mouth and shatters him and will hardly leave him. And I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon threw him to the ground and convulsed him. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And all were astonished at the majesty of God. It's amazing for me that in verse 1 of Luke chapter 9, he gives power and authority to his disciples. And yet we get to this situation later in the chapter when a man says the disciples could not cast out this demon. Had Jesus given them authority? Had he given them the power to do these things? So why didn't they do it? What did he say about them? "You're faithless. You don't have the faith." Has God ever called you to do something and you didn't have the faith to do it? I remember when I was called to ministry, however many years ago that was. And I wouldn't go. Diane was pregnant with our first, with Michael. And I didn't respond to God's call because I didn't trust God enough to provide our needs. I knew that if I went to ministry, I'd have to go back to school. I'd have to change my life. I'd have to get out of my comfort zone, and I didn't trust God to get me through those things. I didn't trust God to provide my needs. I didn't trust God to move us where we needed to be. I lacked faith. If God calls us to do something, Will he do it? Do you trust him to do it? God calls you to teach Sunday school. Why won't you? Maybe we don't have faith. O faithless and twisted generation, there are things that God is calling us to do and things we know we should do, but we don't because we don't think we can. And here's the problem. We don't think we can. We can is the problem. God can is the solution. Y'all believe that this morning? We can is the problem, but God can is the solution. Be sure of this. If God is moving in you or in me through the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish something or anything for him, he will do these three things. He will first enable us. He will gift us to do what he's called us to do. Secondly, he will equip us. And third, he will empower us. It's all about him. It's not about us. If God has called you to move forward with him, realize he can. You can't. That's what I said to Jamie a little while ago. Jamie, you can't do this. But God can. And God will. Lack of faith will cause us to make excuses. We don't believe he can. Here's something else. Lack of love will cause us to make excuses. Later in the chapter, verse 46, an argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, took a child and put him by his side and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who is great." What were the disciples saying? Hey, which one of us is the best? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You remember James and John said to Jesus, "Let us sit in this place." You know, sometimes even following Christ, it becomes all about us. We draw attention to ourselves. We want people to see who we are and what we can do. And just about that time when we want to show people who we are and what we can do, we're in for trouble. It's not just preachers and elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers, worship leaders. It's not just those. It can be ministry leaders. It can be people who lead the Stone ministry, Cheryl. It can be people who lead the women's ministry, Belinda. It can be people who lead the children's ministry. But once we believe that we are more important than God, once we believe that it's all about us, once we believe, excuse me, that we are above, when we don't love others, then we're in trouble. James Dobson, if you don't remember anything else from this sermon today, remember this. James Dobson said years and years ago, when you stand on a pedestal, a step in any direction takes you down. Don't elevate yourself. Elevate others. Aren't we to consider others as being more important than us? Lack of love. John 13, 34 and 35, you've heard this before. A new commandment I give to you that you what? That you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it says we are to walk in love. Love needs to be that thing that that defines who we are. It defines our relationship with others. 1 John chapter 3, turn there with me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. Or Catherine will have that on the screen. So take a look there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brother and brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Love God, love others for his glory. It's not about us. Listen, if we love one another, here's some things we will not do. We won't attack. We won't accuse. We won't condemn. We won't criticize. We won't judge. We won't gossip. We won't question motives. We won't do character assassination. Those are things we will not do. We will not put ourselves first. And it's when we put ourselves first that we begin to do those other things. If we love one another, we will pray for one another. We will encourage one another. We will walk with one another through difficult circumstances. We will bring comfort to one another. We will speak the truth in love. There's nothing wrong with talking to someone about a problem, but we do it the right way. We speak the truth in love. Lack of faith, lack of love, not living under the authority of Christ, all these things will contribute to making excuses. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. You can, I'm not going to refer to, but you can see the same story in Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 20. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." It was referred to the scribe in Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." By the way, that one phrase by itself puts a hole in all the prosperity gospel nonsense. What was he asking the scribe to do? To get out of his comfort zone. How easy is it for us to move out of our comfort zone? You know, when God called me to ministry, I was pretty comfortable. I was doing okay at my job. I was making enough money. But God was calling me to a place that I didn't know anything about. God often calls us to follow Him into places that are not comfortable. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China who worked 7 years in China sharing the gospel of Jesus with other people before one person received Christ as his Savior. William Carey left his home and went to India to be a missionary. Gave his life, left his home to go and to give his life for others. Jesus challenges us to follow Him, to trust Him. Before I came here, my pastor's name was Glenn Hicks. Glenn had been a missionary to Okinawa for 17 years before he came to pastor the church where I was in Heath. He once said to me that the hardest thing he ever had to do was to put his boys on a plane back to the United States to continue their education. He not only was moved by God out of his comfort zone to be a missionary to Okinawa, but he also was moved from his comfort zone by sending his children back to the United States. But he was willing to do what God called him to do. And that needs to be true of us. Did he trust God to do what God told him and had taught him that he could do? Absolutely he did. And he is one of my heroes. He was willing to be led, forced out of his comfort zone. He learned, as we need to learn, that Galatians 2:20 is correct. Turn there. Galatians 2:20. We ourselves are Jews by birth. Well, that's 15. 20 is this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to learn to die to self. Back to Luke chapter 9. If we're going to move forward with God without excuses, we need to learn to die to self and to live for him. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That was a challenge, wasn't it? It was a challenge to get up and move out of your comfort zone and follow him wherever he leads. And by the way, we are going to change the last song at the end of the service. I was praying about it yesterday. It came to me, and there's a hymn that says, wherever he leads, I'll go. Do you believe that? Wherever he leads, I'll go. Do you believe that about your children? What if, Belinda, God calls Christian or Brennan or Ilaria to the mission field? You going to let him go? What if God would send one of your children, Caroline, back to your home country to be a missionary there? Would it be okay? You see, we have to realize that God is moving us out of our comfort zones. If we're going to go forward with him, we can't be comfortable where we are. The second excuse. Let me do this first. Let me do this first. I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I have to do these things first. Look at the second guy. To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. There is no evidence here that his father is dead. What he wanted to do was to go back and make sure all these happened so that everything was okay in his life before he made the decision to follow Jesus. You remember the rich young man, the rich young ruler who said, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? What Jesus said, say to him, go sell all your stuff and come follow me. What's it say about that young man? He went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful because he was not willing to do what God called him to do. Let me do these things first. I'll do whatever you want me to do, God, but. Do we get in trouble when we say but? I'll do whatever you want me to do, God, but. But first let me do this, or but first let me do that, or here's another one. First let me pray about it. Now, I'm not discounting prayer at all. Understand that. But there are a lot of folks, you you believe God's asking them to do something, you talk to them, and they say, let me pray about it. And when you ask them later, well, I haven't prayed about it yet. And maybe you ask them another time, I still haven't prayed about it. Are you really concerned then with what God's calling you to do? It just popped into my head something Rick Warren said in his book, Purpose Driven Church. He said, serve in areas where you're gifted, and then serve in areas where you're needed. Serve in areas where you're gifted, where God calls you to use your spiritual gift. And by the way, every believer has at least one. Is that right? Some have more than one. A spiritual gift is a supernatural enablement to do what God has called you to do. And serve in areas where you need it. What is one of the biggest areas we have need? Just asking. Barb, tell me. Belinda, tell me. What's one of the biggest areas we have need? Back in the back, right? By the way, nursery. I've done my time. Anybody ever thought that? I've done my time in the nursery. I'm finished back there. Who watched your kids? Just thinking. You don't do children? That's another thing. I don't do children. What did Jesus say? Let the children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We teach our children to love God, to love others. We teach our children about Jesus so that one day they can make a decision to receive him as their Savior. How important are children to the church? No children, no life. No children, no church. Because the church will die. See, this guy didn't really make Jesus a priority. And I thought about this week about somebody else being called to ministry in Matthew chapter 4, beginning verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The next word is crucial. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. When Jesus calls us to do things, is that our attitude? Immediately, we get up and follow him. Immediately, we get up and do what he's called us to do, trusting that he will equip, enable, and empower us to do those things. Immediately. Well, I think about it. Let me take care of these other things first. And then maybe. So the question becomes for us, is Jesus really a priority? Or do we just give lip service? Why are we here this morning? Are we here to worship God? Are we here to praise him because he's a priority? Or because that's expected? Let me take care of these other things first. Third guy. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Or Catherine will have it up. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says this, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, forgetting what lies behind. You know, some people live in the past. We can't be there. We can't live in the past. Living in the past will keep us from moving forward with God. Well, this is what he did. Yep, I remember when I was a kid, it would cost me 10 cents to go to the movies. Boy, that's depressing when I think about that now. But I can't live back here. You can learn from the past. We make mistakes, we can learn from them. We've had successes. We can learn from those things, but we can't stay there. We can't live in the past. You can learn from the past, but we have to live in the present. God is still at work in our lives. God still wants us to do things for him. God still has a plan for us, and he expects us to move forward with him. We learn from the past, we live in the present, and we look to the future. And that's what we need to do as a church. We need to look to the future. There's a great future out there for us. There's a great future out there for you. But we need to quit making excuses and do what God's called us to do. Let's get going. No excuses. We make excuses because we're not living under God's authority. We make excuses because we're not living in faith. We make excuses because we are not learning to love one another. All of those things will lead to us making excuses. We need to learn how to live under God's authority. We are told in the Scripture to grow in the faith and knowledge, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are told in the Scripture to love one another. We need to learn to love better. Only those things, God's authority, growing in faith, and learning to love will keep us from making excuses. Take a look at that in your own life. It is those three things that will keep me from making excuses. God is going to call you to do some amazing things that you right now probably think you cannot do. But trust him. He is faithful. Submit to him. He is in charge. And love him and love others as he commands us to do. Let's get going. No excuses. Let's pray.